The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We are now a little over a week into the election proper. We'll cross the halfway point midway through this week. I'm joined by Francis Fitzgerald, former MEP, and Kevin Cunningham, lecturer in politics at TU Dublin and the man behind the Ireland Thinks polling and analysis company. Francis, first of all, I put this question to Craig Hughes. Is it me or is this something of a lackluster election thus far?
Ah, look, what elections have not been somewhat lackluster apart from 2020? And I think everyone is looking for some dramatic change in the polls. I mean, you have Jack Horgan-Jones in the Times today, a stuttering start, no cut-through moments. And I would say as a candidate, what are cut-through moments? It's usually when you catch somebody. I'm speaking now as a former candidate of 11 elections. You know, I think that people are looking for, you know, these kind of moments where people are attacked or something dramatic happens. I mean, attacked verbally. And that's often what, you know, TV will pick up. What I'm finding, and I've done a lot of different canvassing in different areas, it's people are really interested in talking about the issues. And I mean, that doesn't necessarily make headlines. You know, if people are talking to you about housing, which is really strong on the doors.
I think back to Bertie Ahern's early campaigns, where there was a sense of every day Bertie was out like the Duracell bunny. It was sort of sunny weather, people coming out to greet him.
What people say is Simon Harris is the same with all his new energy to get things done. I mean, you know, that is being covered. I think maybe social media. People are seeing an awful lot of what's happening on the ground on social media. And this is like, this has really developed beyond anything we've ever seen before from a candidate point of view. And so from the person watching, they're kind of hearing what Simon Harris has to say, what the leaders have to say. Candidates are doing their own videos every day and uploading them. So you
and they're seeing that as effective. They're getting reach into individual constituencies by so doing.
Well, they certainly are doing it. I mean, I guess the jury is somewhat out on the effectiveness, but in terms of communication, I mean, who does a press release now? Who does anything like that? It's all the reels and social media and interviews from a candidate point of view, as well as the canvassing on the door. And the canvassing on the door is about discussing with people what's on their minds. And people are talking. I mean, the polls are quite accurate, I think, in terms of what people are talking about.
Housing, crime, health,
childcare, mental health, I would say. I mean, they're the ones that are top. And you will have people with single issues. But definitely housing is, to me, is, you know, jumping off the doors as, you know, wanting to talk about it. Not necessarily having a go, but concern. So there's serious discussions with people on the door, on the doors, about all of the topics
from
that are there.
From a Fine Gael perspective then, how delighted were you to see the former housing minister choose this time to say that effectively for 2 years you didn't know what you were doing when it came to housing?
Oh, I thought it was disgraceful, actually. I really did. Because if he didn't manage to convince his colleagues on what to do at the time, he can't turn around and say that it's Fine Gael weren't interested in housing. I found it extraordinary, to be honest with you. He's written his book and I didn't know. I served in cabinet with him. I did not know he was going through a crisis like that. He did not share it. And I understand how reticent he was. But I think we could have perhaps definitely helped him and maybe looked at the issues in a different way in relation to what was going on. But at the end of the day, he failed to convince that X, Y or Z should happen. Now, I don't think that's indicative of Fine Gael's attitude to housing at all. So I think it was very unhelpful. I was somewhat surprised.
Book, his assertions, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but he goes into some detail about how he tried to bring about policy change and just found that he was incapable of bringing either the parliamentary party with him or his cabinet colleagues or the system and found it deeply.
No, I've no memory of that. What I have a memory of is him presenting a kind of a 2030 plan. I remember it distinctly and saying, you know, a very effective plan, saying this is what we're going to do in relation to. I remember it distinctly, building up Limerick, building up Cork and so on. So his sense of not being supported, I think, may well have more to do with his own personal journey that he was going through at the time, because he's outlined that in huge detail. Not to say I'm not sympathetic to that, but obviously it's very unhelpful what he's been saying.
What about the impact on it then, Kevin? Because we're looking at the polls and there's a general election poll in the Irish Times. Given that housing is the main thing, having the former housing minister say he didn't, the party, because he was at the vanguard of delivery for the party, didn't deliver for nearly 2 years during the midst of the crisis, does it make a difference?
I think I take Francis's point about housing being the most important issue. But one of the things I think is we're seeing the government's support increasing over the last couple of months in relative terms. And I think the housing issue is almost like the default issue where there isn't really any really strong prominent issue at this point in time. I think that's partly what's going on because maybe the number of people for whom this is directly important is relatively small. It's not the kind of 50 or 60% of people who actually emphasise that issue. It's kind of like, you know, in any kind of other occasion, it might be the issue like the economy. When you're asking people what they think is the most important issue, they might just say whatever they perceive to be the issue that is of the day. Now, I'm not saying that lots of people don't think housing is important. They do. But I don't know the extent to which it's feeding into the vote anymore.
Well, yeah, can I ask about that? Because that's the thing that I've been struggling with.
Priced in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but yeah. Post the American election, I'm trying to figure out to what extent do people vote on things that they see as societal and community problems that need to be resolved? Or is that a fantasy and people just vote on the thing that impacts them?
I think you're probably right. I think when you ask people why they vote for the party that they vote for, generally speaking, they fall into a number of categories. Some people will say policies, but it's pretty much a minority. It tends to be younger voters who might be a bit more focused on those sorts of things. But a lot of voters are more likely to say things like they always vote for a given party for the reason why they vote for that party, or other voters might vote say that they're voting for change or for the track record of the existing government. There's broadly a couple of different categories, but the policies themselves don't really feed in to the actual voting decisions to the extent that we might otherwise think it does. I mean, things like ideology are the sorts of things that actually are more likely to influence voting behaviour. And that kind of comes from all the academic research.
Well, then, Kevin, explain this to me. I'm looking at page 6 of the Irish Times, and it's like the Aldi catalogue of politics. Social Democrats outline plan for housing, and there's a breakdown of all that they're going to do. 303,000 new homes over the upcoming period, and all the rest of it. Labour pledges GP care for all children, and there's extension plans to hire 700 nurses, deliver 300 extra hospital beds. If policy doesn't matter, why the big giveaways?
I have to say, I think these sorts of campaigns are very good, very well-meaning. It's nice that we talk about policy in Ireland when it comes to political discourse. It's nice that that's the form of our political campaigns. But realistically, I don't think they're the most effective campaigns. I think if you look at kind of more effective campaigns in the United States,
like Trump,
as awful as it is,
who wants that?
It is more effective, right, to focus on other issues because I think the fundamental reason is a lot of people don't necessarily trust what political parties say during campaigns. We asked voters about this. Do you trust what politicians say during campaigns? Only 10% said yes. And it's not really a criticism of the politicians themselves. It's just that with the best intentions, a lot of these policies are not necessarily going to be achievable for a variety of different reasons. If you look at the last election, immediately after that election, we had COVID, which completely changed any of the promises or manifesto promises that they brought into that election cycle. Previous election, Brexit happened within a couple of months, changed everything. Previous election, the government that came in discovered that finances were way worse. The previous election, from that, there was a financial crisis. So it's hard to have a set of policies that you plan to achieve over the course of the following 4 years, right?
And presumably...
There's another reason is that like one of the other reasons why this looks a bit daft is because of the recent budget. I mean, you had this massive budget and then all of a sudden you turn around within a month and say, well, here's a whole lot of other promises.
Look, this is the nature of elections. Okay, every party puts out its stall. It's the manifesto of each party and then it merges into a programme for government. And what we have seen increasingly in the last number of elections is that if it's not in the manifestos, doesn't make its way into the programme for government, it doesn't get done. Because each government department, each minister works to the programme for government. So therefore, it's very important for everybody to say in advance, these are our priorities. This is what we will ensure is in a manifesto, because that effectively becomes, that's your agenda
that's
for
agenda
government.
For
as a minister, I know
yeah,
this. And every month you're reviewing, what have you done that's in the programme for government? Have you ticked this off? Can we say we delivered on this, that or the other? So I don't take your point that, you know, about policy, and everybody's saying they're going to do this and that, even if it's after a budget. That's the time frame that we're in. And I think it's really important for parties to say what their priorities are.
But to some extent, are you allowed to recede towards the mean by virtue of the programme for government that you say, well, the big aspirational stuff that was outliers beyond, because we are now in quotes negotiations for a joint programme for government, we can all get rid of that stuff that we knew we were never going to deliver and the public see through
that. You're a cynic. I mean, you're an absolute cynic.
Well,
I think, do you remember, let me go back to, do you remember the negotiations conversations in Trinity in 2016 that went on forever. I mean, there are red lines people have. There are approaches that personify different parties and they stay in manifestos, so, as far as I can see.
So I think the problem is the way it's presented to the public, right? So we know this. We know that policies go in with manifestos. We know that the programme for government gets implemented. We know that most of the items of the programme for government do get implemented, but mostly it's the kind of smaller items rather than big ticket items and the big financial issues. But the problem is a lot of voters are only really paying attention during election campaigns. They're switching on now. They're hearing Social Democrats are saying we're going to build 300,000 houses. We know the Social Democrats aren't going to form a single party government, right? So it's pretty unrealistic to even go out and say this sort of stuff. Say this is what we are going to do. It's the optics of saying something, promising something effectively, and then invariably you know it's not going to happen. So it's just the communications aspect of this is really severely lacking, I think.
But I suppose the other side to it then, Kevin, is the Social Democrats need
Labour the same, Fine Gael the same, Fianna Fáil the same.
They need something that gets them that 800 words on page 6 of the Irish Times and gets them the 4 or 5 minutes of airtime that they've got. You can't get that without a tangible specific, or can you? Well, you can't just come in and say we're still the Social Democrats like we were last week.
I think a lot of voters, I mean, this comes back to the point is that we always worry about why are voters have less and less trust in democracy? Why do they not trust politicians at all? Why do we only have 10% people saying that they trust what politicians say during campaigns? I think fundamentally we need to rethink about how we're doing our campaigns.
Well, look at the examples around the world. Would you rather have Hungary? Would you rather have the USA? Would you want to Trump? Let's praise our democracy for what it is.
No,
that
but
people
I think,
can go out safely on the doors, that parties can say what they're going to do. Okay, you're saying it's a bit exaggerated during elections in terms of highlighting particular policies. I mean, you are dealing with a media that's looking, as I've already said, looking for those kind of catchy moments. I mean, it's challenging. Being in an election campaign is challenging for all the parties trying to find their spot.
I don't want a Trump. I'm only using him as a recent example. The reason why you get to that point in time is because voters lose so much trust in the political system, because the only time they're engaging with the political system in many cases is when these promises arise. And then the other thing is about coalitions and saying you're going to have one coalition and then going into a different coalition. It's like the only time the people who have low levels of trust engage in the political process is this point in time.
So I think we need to be very clear. We have to get more trust in the political system. And that is very challenging. And we're in a period of huge change. But I would say...
just being realistic about what's achievable, I think.
Now, on the topic of coalitions, important. Front page of the Irish Daily Mail, Fine Gael, electronic tagging for sex offenders. Fianna Fáil, you've sat on this law for 18 months. How is the tension of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael campaigning as opponents but also bedfellows working out? Because this is still a relatively new thing for the two parties.
I think it's challenging. I mean, I was thinking about this before the election and I was involved in various discussions on it. I mean, each party wants to put their pitch out there. We saw what Simon Harris said about Michael Martin saying that, you know, we were attacking Fianna Fáil and Simon said, well, listen, you've kind of been attacking us. Come on, you know, the attacker attacked. The attacked, but I think that it's tricky for the electorate to kind of grasp that you can be in coalition one day and then you're
seeking
on the election
transfers train. Presumably as well, yes. While at the same time yes. opposing.
Let's
policy.
See how it plays out over the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think it was inevitable there would be some distancing to begin with, Anton.
Now, while we're talking about major events of the campaign, by my count, there are about 74,000 teachers in the country. I figure if they have spouses or other halves, that's 150,000 people. They probably have wider family. We can round it up to a quarter of a million. As a strategy to offend all those people via Michael O'Leary at a campaign event, was that sensible?
Oh God, I have teachers in my family. Everyone I meet at the doors has teachers in their families, of course. I mean, look at Peter Burke invited him because he knows him locally down there.
For those unfamiliar, this is Michael O'Leary saying at an event for Peter Burke that
teachers are
incapable of getting things done, was the thrust of his point.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, look, it is not clearly reflective of Fine Gael views. We do quote Michael Noonan. And Enda Kenny, our leaders and teachers who saved the economy, clearly got a lot done. So obviously doesn't reflect, I think, what upset people primarily, not just that he said it, but that people were kind of laughing, you know, on that video. And I think they were laughing at kind of Michael O'Leary's going on as opposed to the content of the speech. But of course, well, I mean, isn't this...
Now, you mentioned Trump before. There is a line that Trump quotes all the time about the woman who takes in the snake that was sickly, nurses it back to health, then the snake bites her and kills her. And as she lies dying, she says, "Why did you do that?" And the snake says, "You knew what I was when you took me in." Surely you knew what Michael O'Leary was when you invited him.
Yeah, we did not know he was going to go. I'm sure Peter Burke did not know he was going to start making those upsetting comments to teacher. Listen, my sister's a teacher. She was on the text to me. No, clearly we clearly put distance between ourselves and what he said.
All right, give us the science. How impactful is it, Kevin?
Well, I think it's one of those things that if you target a very specific demographic, it's going to make a bigger difference for that particular demographic.
Yes.
So the teachers are probably going to tune into this far more than anyone else. And obviously for them, it's going to be far more negative.
It's upsetting, of course.
Yeah.
Do they write it off as Michael O'Leary being Michael O'Leary, or do they take it as an indication of...
Well, I'm not a teacher, so I guess I wouldn't necessarily
But you're the
know,
man with the finger on the pulse of all various demographics.
I mean, the one thing I think is worth pointing out is, I mean, the point he was sort of making was, I wouldn't hire a teacher to kind of manage the country and all that sort of stuff. I think maybe there's a disconnect between what the role of an actual politician is. I mean, it's up to the civil service to actually provide options, and the teachers or the politicians to be able to choose between those options and try to determine whether, you know, an additional bed in a hospital versus an additional school is more important.
Yes, or they are not probably, CEOs.
I saw quite a lot of papers saying, why doesn't he run himself? No, you know, he's not going to run, that's for sure.
Maybe not this time. Have you got a state of the parties? Do you know where we stand in terms of numbers roughly at this stage?
Well, not off the top of my head, I don't. But what I thought was quite interesting in the Irish Times opinion poll was just the coalitions. So they had Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael as the preferred coalitions for 45% of voters, followed by Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party with 17%, and Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and others with 28%. I mean, that's an enormous... I know Sinn Féin on their own with other parties only on 18. So it was interesting to see how the outside of the core Sinn Féin vote, basically seemingly every other party kind of was looking towards Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Which will have interesting implications, one assumes, for transfers.
Well, the transfers are quite interesting. I mean, if you look at some of the ballot data that I have from the previous poll, you can see around 70%+ of votes are staying within the Fianna Fáil / Fine Gael family, let's say, rather than party. Because I think while the parties might feel distinctive, and I'm sure they are in terms of the membership, from the voters' perspective, I don't think they see that difference anymore.
Interesting. Saying outside cities canvassing on the doorstep is just a nocturnal leaflet dropping exercise these days. Anton, our biggest existential threat, climate breakdown, gets no mention. It falls off a cliff. If you want to get in touch, 53106, or you can get us 087 1400 106. Big thank you to Francis Fitzgerald, former Taoiseach and MEP, and Kevin Cunningham, lecturer in politics at TU Dublin and MD and founder at Ireland Thinks. Have you a poll in the Sindo tomorrow?
No, next week.
We look forward to it.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.